Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
It is Monday, May 6, 2024. This is another edition of Baseball Today, presented to you by our friends over at Factor. That is my man, Trevor Plouffe. I am Chris Rose, producer Dan along for the ride as well. Hope you had a great weekend, my friend.
I did. Thank you very much. It was filled with a sick kid, sports, just everything you want as a parent, Chris. So it was adventurous. It was fun. I had a good weekend. You?
Yeah, great one. Great one. Went to Santa Anita Racetrack for a little Kentucky Derby party. That was a blast. Had a ton of fun. Then on Sunday, watched somebody advance in the Eastern Conference NBA playoffs. Go Cavs. Wasn't easy over the upstart Orlando Magic. But now we have to face Boston.
We celebrated Coptic Easter over here. We're on the Egyptian calendar. It's a Coptic calendar, technically. So I cooked a prime rib on my Traeger.
Nice.
Had the moms over, my mother-in-law and my mother. And yeah, man, there's nothing that makes you feel like a man.
More than barbecue.
More than just putting a big old piece of meat on the table and say, here we go, let's eat.
I just made burgers last night, but I did think about you.
Sounds good.
Because I did barbecue them. I was like, this is what Plouffe would be doing.
So you're shirtless.
No, I did not do that. I wanted to save the neighbors. Okay, so a little bit of baseball news. It feels like every Monday we're getting a new City Connect. So the Tigers, the latest to roll theirs out, going Motor City. Why wouldn't they? Feels a little softball-ish. I don't know. I love
they all kind of do
over the weekend, but this one, I don't know if I'm feeling it.
I don't mind the coloring and like they've done some, like their VIN number is all like the VIN number is all the times they've won the championships. Like I get that, I guess, but the what's that called? The font isn't doing it for me. Like if you're going to play up the cars, like I just want a faster font. It looks like a very slow car. If I'm being honest, that's kind of like, it looks like a stock standard slow car. I want a fast car. I don't really drive fast cars, but I'm just saying, like, if you have a uniform and sports related, you want it fast. So I would have liked some flames. Maybe I know Tampa just has the flames. So maybe they didn't want to do that whole thing, but something like more like NASCAR-y kind of feels right.
All right, well, we'll see how they play out when they're on the field in the near future. Quick tip of the cap to the Baltimore Orioles. We won't be talking about them today. We talked about them a lot last week. They have now held opponents to two or fewer runs in seven straight games. That is their best mark in 44 years. They are for real. And Colton Cowser, latest guest on the Chris Rose rotation, so make sure you check out the Moo Man.
Okay? That wasn't Chris, over the weekend, that wasn't even Grayson Rodriguez or Corbin Burns. That was Cole Irvin, John Means, Dean Kremer.
Yeah. They took Orioles to Cincinnati in a sweep in the Queen City. All right, we had our first major trade of the season over the weekend. Luis Arraez on the move for the second time now in 18 months. Dealt to San Diego, where he then set a franchise record with four hits in his Padres debut on Saturday. Does it feel like A.J. Preller is going all in this season?
I mean, it sure does. I mean, you go and trade for Cease the way he did. I feel like that was a signal like, hey, like we're still here. We still really like our roster. And thank goodness for Cease. Like he's held them together. And then you go make this move for Arraez. And I think for them, it's kind of like exactly how they do business. Get an infielder, find somewhere to put him, a guy that can do it offensively. And I think a lot of people are saying, okay, where is he going to play? I mean, so far he's DH and he's played second base. I think he's going to kind of probably just go in between those two positions. I don't think he can really play anywhere else. Maybe first base to spell Cronenworth. I could obviously see that happening as well. But I like the move. And yeah, it does signal that they're going all in. And you could say, hey, like Arraez, he kind of does one thing well. He hits the ball. He gets hits. But what they're really looking for is like a table setter. The guy can get on base, like a career like 380 OBP guy. You put him at the top of the lineup, and then you have your big boys in the middle. They slug. They drive him in. So yeah, it is to me. If you can get one of the best bat to ball guys, and kind of you don't need him to do anything other than that. Those are good trades to me. When you can say, hey, just be yourself. We brought you in for a reason, and that reason is go get on base for our sluggers to drive you in. That's all that he has to do there, and it's all he really knows how to do. The guy's a raker, so I like it for the Padres.
Yeah, I mean, this is the question: is are they all in? And the answer is absolutely. I told you at the beginning of the season, particularly when they made the Cease deal, I feel like AJ Preller is architecting. I don't think that's a word, but I'm going to use it today for his job. I really believe it, because now that they've got new ownership there, I think he has to do things a certain way. And one of the ways he did this was to pare the salary down to where it was almost nothing. I mean, the Marlins. Minimum. Yeah, the Marlins. And it's a prorated league minimum at that. We're already 5 weeks in. So it's not even the full league minimum that they'll be eating. Now, did they have to give back a bigger haul? Yes, that was the whole side of the Marlins deal, which we will talk about momentarily. I think for the Padres, it's great. They don't have a lot of dependable bats from the left side of the plate. And for people that are saying, well, he doesn't slug. You mentioned it. That's what they pay the other guys $30 million a year to go do. So they go do their job, because this guy's going to do his job. And I think that if they do make the playoffs, he is exactly the type of player that pitchers don't want to face. Because it seems like whenever he's got two strikes, he's just fouling shit off. I know he puts the ball in play a lot. It feels like earlier in the counts than later. I haven't checked that out. Probably should have before I said anything. But he always feels like he just doesn't strike out. So yeah, when there are two strikes, that he's the guy who could work a 7 or 8 pitch at bat, and all of a sudden the pitcher's going, God damn it, this sucks.
Yeah, no, I like him. And I think he fits in well with the clubhouse. I guess. I don't know that either. But knowing him and kind of knowing some of the guys in the clubhouse, he fits right in.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about this from the Marlins side of things. They get reliever Woosuk Go, who has yet to make his big league debut. They also pick up the 2 years and $4.5 million on his deal. They do get three prospects, and that's led by last year's first rounder, the Padres, Dylan Head. Here is Miami's decision maker, Peter Bendix, on the trade.
We have a goal from day one. That goal is unchanged. We have one eye on the present, one eye on the future. Given our frustrating start to the season, this move was made more towards the future than the present. But that goal of making disciplined moves towards a long-term, sustainably successful future, that goal remains our top priority.
Is that good enough for you?
Well, which goal is it? You've had a goal from day one. You just mentioned two goals. One's to keep one eye on the future, one eye on the present. And then you said our goal is to make disciplined moves for the future. Like, where are we at? Like, look, I understand this guy comes in. He's got a job to do. He has his vision of what to do. But his vision is like every GM's that ever walks into a new role. Let's strip everything down and let's go get a bunch of young guys and see where we're at in 3 years. This team just made the playoffs last year. And I know they've had some injuries to the pitching staff, a very disappointing start to the season. But you still have a rise for next year as well. Like, I don't know, man. I think everyone's trying to copy the Orioles, or like the old school Cubs, or maybe the Astros, and they all like think that's the one way to do this. One plan is always going to work. It doesn't always work. I mean, the White Sox didn't work out either. Like, there are times where if you're there and you're this close, like, you can't just throw in the towel. Now, I get it. This season, maybe it's a lost cause, and maybe they got to rise over there and they're like, you know what? We know what he is. We knew what he was when we traded for him, but maybe we're changing our organizational philosophy. I don't know what's going on over there. But like, I don't think you can do both, Chris. I don't think you can have your eye on the future and have your eye on the present. Or at least, no, excuse me. Let me take that back. I think you can do both. I don't think the Marlins are doing both.
Well,
that's what I meant to say. I don't think they're keeping their eye on the present whatsoever.
No, because the present, nobody wants to look at this, even with one eye open. It's horrible.
It's bad.
Right, and we know that they're going to blow this up. This is really just the start. I think that there is a huge for-sale sign in Peter Bendix's front lawn. And it should be, to be honest with you. I don't have a problem with them pulling the trigger in early May. Some people do, because some people say, well, if they hang on to Luis Arraez until July, think of what they could have gotten. We don't know. We don't know if this is the best deal that they could have gotten.
Who knows? What he said. He said they couldn't pass this deal up.
Right, right. And he could be right. He could be wrong. We don't know. And for people to say, oh, well, the Marlins didn't get enough. How the hell do we know? The centerpiece of this trade is a 19-year-old. A 19-year-old might end up being great, might end up being miserable. We can't answer that part of the equation today.
I just don't want him lie. Don't lie to your fan base.
Well, now, hold on here. I agree with you there, but that's why he said we're always going to have an eye on the present. Because if he says, well, we're playing for 2027, then
that's
really
lying
nobody's
to your fan
show
base.
Up for games.
It's lying to your fan base. They're not
of course they are.
Eye on the present. Just say, hey, look, man, we don't like where our organization is at right now. We think last year, you know, maybe it was a fluke.
Oh,
we have the pitching, but here's my plan. Present your plan, dude. Don't like hide and say, oh, here's a little piece of my plan. Present your plan. If you have full support of ownership to make these disciplined moves, present your plan to the fan base. I think that would go such a long way, you know, for people to root for this, you know, to have something to root for. Right now, one eye on the present, one eye on the future. Like, you're not doing that.
In fantasy land, that sounds great. Because you know what? If you're a new GM, and this might be his one and only shot at this job, would you rather lie to your fan base or tell the truth about your owner?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, seriously, because that's what he's doing. What he is taking the bullet for ownership here. That's exactly what he's doing.
You think so? Knows,
absolutely. He has to tear this whole thing down. Once guys started getting injured on their starting rotation, at best, we were like, oh, maybe they can finish fourth this year.
I don't think you have to protect ownership. Like, you know, you're speaking on behalf of the entire organization as a whole. It does not necessarily just the views of your ownership and the payroll restrictions or whatever it is. Like, he's talking about the path forward in their organization. So I think you just need to be honest with the people.
Yes. That would be the perfect way to go. And I agree with you. You and I live by that mantra. We like it when people tell the truth. You know who doesn't like being embarrassed? Really, really rich people. They don't like being embarrassed. And so they don't want to be put out on front street, particularly by their employees. You think that, I mean, that's not how they roll. So they want to be told, hey, let's make it look like we're still trying. Let's put that word out there. But we know what's going on. But let's just not share it publicly.
I don't know, man. It's disappointing if you're a Marlins.
Of course it is.
My gosh.
Of course it's disappointing. And by the way, the only reason I'm wearing a Marlins cap is because I don't know how many more times I'm going to have a chance. And this BP hat is freaking awesome. I'm not saying you're supporting, but I just – how many more guys go, by the way?
You look like Jeff Conine. I don't know why.
Oh, I'll take that.
First name that comes to my mind, yeah.
Mr. Marlins.
How many more guys go? I don't know, man.
Jazz is gone. Probably some bullpen guys.
Josh Bell's probably gone.
Yeah, you're going to have to eat a substantial amount of that contract. But, yeah, that's probably
well, they've shown the ability to do that. I mean, yeah. Arise is making $10 million this year. It bid it all the way down to the league minimum, like you said. So,
yeah, well.
I don't know.
All right.
Do it now, though. Hey, stay the course. Don't backpedal now. Trade everybody.
Yes, I'm with you. I'm with you. The minute you get a deal that you think you're like, okay, I can live with this, pull the trigger. All right. Dodgers swept the Braves in the battle of NL Beasts. Sunday was Shohei's big day with two big bombs. How big a deal was LA's dominance?
Obviously, it was great for the Dodgers and their fan base. And Shohei is just, we talked a lot about him on Talking Baseball today. Like, in my mind, there was no way he was going to compete for an NL MVP this year. I thought it was just going to be like, look, he gets to focus on hitting. It's going to be great. Like, he might win the MVP. Like, he is not only showing that he's like a very good hitter and a very good pitcher. He's showing that he's like the best hitter in the game, Chris. Yeah. Like, it's actually crazy when you really think about it. And I don't want people to get Shohei fatigue, which I hope doesn't happen anytime soon. The guy is an absolute monster. As far as how big of a deal it was, I mean, it's a series in May. I think if these two teams face off 10 times, I think it's a 5-5, you know, series split. Like, they're going to match up well on certain times. The Dodgers are going to match up well certain times. The Braves are going to match up well certain times. If you got them in the playoffs, even after seeing this game, if you got them in the playoffs right now, I would still be like, I have no idea who's going to win. I don't think the Dodgers are so much better than the Braves. I don't think the Braves are so much worse than the Dodgers. Now, I know, you know, the guys that we talked about going, Riley, Olson, and Acuna, like Riley and Acuna first day, a couple homers. You thought that might be the start of it. But then Shohei kind of took over and Max Muncy kind of took over. I'm not really worried about the Braves. I'm happy for the Dodgers, but I'm not going to say just because they swept, like this is, they're the top dog in the league. I'm not going to say that.
Yeah, I mean, if the second series between these two teams will happen in the middle of September in Atlanta, and by that point, we're going to have a pretty good idea of what these rosters look like, whether it's because of trades or in the Dodgers case particularly, who's going to be in their rotation, right? I mean,
a lot of guys.
That changes starting today with Walker Buehler making his first appearance in forever. Clayton Kershaw at some point is going to be back on the mound as well. So I think if you're a Dodger fan, you feel great about, obviously, the way things transpired this weekend, particularly with the pitching. If you're Atlanta, I think you're sitting there going, okay, like, guys, this is cute. We're now into week six of the baseball season, and Ronald Acuna, although he did show some signs of, you know, starting that fire, like, yeah, let's get it going. But Matt Olson has been MIA. If you look at his stats the last 18 games, they're horrific. And Philly, they're taking care of business. Now, I know the next – we'll talk about this a little bit later on Trey Turner's injury. But, you know, like they're building confidence.
Sure.
More and more for already a pretty confident group. So, Atlanta, am I going to sit here and say I'm worried or that there are flaws with the team? No, I will not say that at this point. But have they been playing great baseball? They've been fine.
I mean, they were – had the best record in baseball for most of the season. So it's like,
that can be weird. Like the best record in baseball and playing great baseball.
Sure.
I think can sometimes be two different things. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah. How about this? I mean, that Riley homer in the first game, that was their first homer in 48 innings, Chris.
Wow.
Prior to that, that's a crazy stat for a lineup that features the guys that it features.
And when we talk about the struggles at the top of the order, remember last year, the number of first inning runs the Braves would put up, it was ridiculous, where they were just jumping on teams and then it was over after that. And that hasn't been happening, obviously, because of the lack of production. To say I'm panicked, I would be panicked if I were a Braves fan. No. Impressive win for the Dodgers? Absolutely.
It's great. And Andy Pages doing his thing. He looks like the real deal. 900 OPS. I think he's got four homers already. Like he's a Cuban ball player. You know, Chris, how much I love Cubans.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. At another time, we will talk about whether or not we think Shohei can win the NL MVP as a DH.
I mean, he's third. I believe he's third in baseball now in WAR from the DH position. Mookie Betts, Bobby Witt, and then Shohei.
Yeah. Those other two guys play shortstop, where you get points for just walking out to that part of the dirt, regardless of how you do. Once again, today's show is presented to you by Factor. Factor's all about fueling up your body the best that you can and being smart about it, because you can meet your wellness goals right in time for summer so you can look great. We know how important that is for at least one of the two people on this show. They have a menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals. They are dietitian approved and ready to go in just 2 minutes, right? You take that fork, you stab it, you stick it in the microwave for 2 minutes and 2 seconds, because I'm a little weird about that stuff. And voila, your belly is going to say thank you so much. They got 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week. And you'll have new flavors as well right on top. They'll make your day delicious from breakfast to dessert. You'll stay fueled with easy, nutritious options. I love it for the middle of the day, because I've told you before, when I don't have my Factor meals, if they haven't been shipped to me and I haven't picked them up yet, you know what? I look in the fridge and I go, what the hell am I doing here? And I end up snacking on crappy stuff all day. When Factor meal is filling my fridge, I poke my holes in 2 minutes and 2 seconds. I feel so much better about my day once my lunch is done. So head on over to factormeals.com/today50. Use that code TODAY50. You're going to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off the next month as well. That is the code TODAY50 at factormeals.com/TODAY50. Half off your first box, 20% off the next month while your subscription is active. Enjoy your food.
Yum.
And don't forget, we also have our factor question of the week. Get that in by Thursday night. If we choose yours, we're going to make you famous. We're going to use it on the show on Friday. So make sure you get them in. Make them
I had
good.
A factor juice this morning.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't had anything yet. I'm trying to do that, you know, intermittent fasting thing. And then I just get it going. All right. Oakland A's. They win another series, and on Saturday they went homer happy in a 20-4 drubbing of Miami. Brent Rooker homered twice in a 10-run inning, and the rookie Brett Harris went deep twice for the first two hits of his major league career. They are just 2.5 back now in the American League West. My question to you, do you think fans are rooting for the underdog, or they are so fed up with A's ownership they don't want anything positive to happen with the franchise?
I mean, this does really feel like the plot of the movie Major League. You right. mentioned that to me, and I'm just thinking about it now. Are you talking baseball fans in general or A's fans?
I think we can look at it from both sides, because the reason I brought up the question, I was having a discussion with Josh and Brady, and I said, do you think if there was a playoff game in Oakland that fans would go?
Heck yes. Heck yes.
I think so too. I think so too. But I don't think it's easy, by the way.
You want to know why? I'm trying to think. The gate in the playoffs is different than the gate in the regular season.
Most people don't think about that.
I'm just saying. Well, I think the Oakland A's fans, like, they think about all of that stuff right now. Like, where is their money going? Mm-hmm. I got to look into what it is. I believe what I'm thinking of is after the fourth game, all the gate goes to the players, I think it is. Or maybe they split the first. That's what it is. They split the first four, and then the rest of it goes all to the owners.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. I do think they would show up, and I do think – the A's fans are still rooting for the team. And I brought that up on Talking Baseball. I believe it was on Friday. I gave them my award, actually. I said, look, don't hate the player. Like, the players have nothing to do with this. These guys can't leave the organization. They got drafted into it or traded into it. You're not a free agent. You don't get to pick where you play. So, like, these guys are doing the best they can in whatever uniform that they're donning. With like a very uncertain future ahead of them as far as where they're going to be playing next year. It's going to be in a minor league facility in Sacramento. Like, a lot of things going on, but you can't hate the players, man. They're doing it. Rooker showing up, hitting a bunch of bombs. Ursage and Miller in the back of the bullpen are just so fun and phenomenal to mm-hmm. watch. I think Ursage got a save in the first game of this series. I think you have to be rooting for these guys. I really, really do. And, like, you want to stick it to ownership. I understand that, but you can't do that to the players who are just going out there and doing as best as they can.
Yeah, I think that if you root for the A's, you're not lining John Fisher's pockets. Like, your rooting for them is not going to make the difference in John Fisher's third or fourth house, whatever he's got. Like,
I'll go more than three or four.
Hmm.
I think his portfolio is probably pretty high.
I wonder what the average number of domains for Major League Baseball owners would be. If I set an over-under at 3.5 per owner.
If you're talking about like houses they frequent, like a traditional home and then a couple of vacation spots, I would say 3 is a good number.
Yeah, that's a good number.
I have 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm just kidding. I got one.
You have access to many.
I got access to a lot of things. I also have a rental property.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I'm trying to get my things going.
Oh, diversification.
My entire signing bonus went into my rental property.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, you mean when you got drafted by the Twins?
I bought a house, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You want to tell me where it is?
It's in Porter Ranch.
Damn.
It's a nice area. It's a really nice area. So, I mean, thank goodness I put my money there. I would have spent it all.
Okay, baller.
I was an idiot back then.
Who convinced you that?
I did. We were renting. My parents got divorced. We were renting homes. My entire, I moved, I don't know, 5 or 6 times during my high school life. And I was like, dude, I ain't moving again. I bought a house. Me, my mom, and my sister lived there.
Any good parties?
Yeah. Quick story. Real quick. I converted the garage into a game room. I got one of those things from like, you know, those like Brookstone things. You could just like go in and look at all these weird things you can buy. I bought this shot dispenser. It had like 6 bottles on it, and it was a shot dispenser. That was stupid. My brother came over for 1 week, and we filled the whole thing up. We just played pool the entire time. We drank like almost all of it. It was a bad idea. I got rid of it immediately.
That's great. Good stuff. Back to the A's. I'm rooting for you. I'm rooting for you because I'm rooting for Marcotte and his staff. I'm rooting for the players. I think it's great. I loved it at the beginning of the year when everybody's like, well, the Guardians, who have they beaten? The A's. Meantime, the A's are whooping ass and they have a winning record against, you know, everybody in the league, except when you take out the deal, you know, when you take out the deal that but they've lost 6 of 7 to Cleveland. So
the A's and the Nats doing it.
Yeah. Sorry, Nats fans. We don't have time for you today, but we're keeping an eye
after
on you.
500, shout out Jesse Winker with the hair. We're doing it.
By the way, does Winker look like he's lost weight?
I think it's the hair.
Really?
Yeah, he's got the little flip going. Hitting bombs.
Okay. All right. Speaking of Washington, they took care of the Toronto Blue Jays, and they're part of our next question. Bigger story out of the AL East. The Rays down to their last strike. Game-tying homer from Randy off Edwin Diaz, leading to the eventual sweep of the Mets, or Alek Manoah getting crushed in his return to Toronto's rotation by the Nats?
God. The Blue Jays are something else. I'm gonna go with the Rays, though. I just love that. I mean, you're going up against one of, if not the best closers in the game. You're in your new City Connect uniforms. You have Randy Arozarena, who hasn't really got off to a great start. 3-2, two outs, homer to tie the game. Then my guy Johnny DeLuca, who was a skater growing up, in their skater-inspired uniforms. I love that. I love the sweep for the Rays. You know, I said this on Talking Baseball too. It would be crazy if, because every year I feel like people talk about the Rays. Oh, this is the final year. Everything's going to catch up to them. Like they don't play sustainable baseball yet. Like they win every single year. It'd be crazy if the Astros and the Rays all of a sudden just became bad out of nowhere. Both of those things can't happen in the same year. So the Astros, I believe they're sitting at like 12-22. I don't know what's going to happen with them. I believe this series, the sweep of the Mets, is probably going to propel the Rays into kind of being back to where they should be in the general, you know, rankings of Major League Baseball.
We're going to know, I think, over the next 4 to 5 weeks, because 6 of their next 9 series are in the division. So I think we'll have a pretty good understanding because, yeah, they've just kind of hemmed and hawed their way through these first 5 weeks, in part because Yandy and Randy have been horrible.
Yeah.
Both with an OPS under 600. Randy's is 512.
Yeah.
With 43 strikeouts. I mean, I knew it was bad. I just didn't do a deep dive into his numbers. I was like, 512? Don't you just get that to show up? It's kind of like the SAT and you sign your name.
No, you don't, actually. No, Chris, you don't. Okay. But, you know, look, it's May 6th. If Randy goes and does what Randy can do in 2 weeks, he could have the OPS in the sevens, and then we could just be, like, laughing at a slow start. Like, this is uh-huh. It's still that point of the season to me.
I do want to quickly touch on Alek Manoah. I did watch his start yesterday. Velocity was great. I thought the slider looked decent at times. He got out of a jam in the first, looked great in the second inning, and then it kind of all fell apart from there. I am not one of those guys who's rooting against him. I never have been. I think he's good for baseball, whether you like him or he plays the heel. And do I think there's some things that he had to clean up? Absolutely. Do I like it that they're going to stick with him for at least the foreseeable future is the way it's reading in the rotation? Yes, I do. The next step is being able to give that team five plus innings.
Yeah.
You have to. You cannot be a guy, particularly when they've struggled offensively. I know they didn't yesterday, but they have really through 5 weeks. They just haven't done it. And so I, for one, am rooting for him. I know a lot of people aren't. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I've had his back, Chris. So I would like to see him return to form. It's you got to go do it eventually. You got your shot here. Didn't work out. You said there were some pitches that looked good. I actually didn't watch the start this weekend, but I saw the numbers, saw the highlights, and the whole team, man. I can't put my finger on like what is going on with them.
None of us can.
First right. pitch was a error by or first batter error by Bichette behind him. Like it just, I don't know, man.
They got a long way to go. Two of baseball's best leadoff men are hamstrung, literally. Phillies are going to be without Trey Turner for 6 to 8 weeks with a bad hammy, while Cleveland's Stephen Kwan is going on the IL with a similar injury. Which one is the bigger deal?
I think it's Stephen Kwan. I mean, look, I don't know how long he's out. I have they done imaging on it? I know they put him on the IL, but they're getting imaging done.
They did. They did imaging. He's on the 10-day IL as of right now, but he's had that problem in college, which is the tough part.
A little scary. Trey Turner being out 6 weeks is like also – I mean, you can kind of go either way with this question because you got to believe that Kwan will be back within the 10 days or 2 weeks, whatever it will be for him. That's what it sounds like. Losing Trey Turner, who's off to a great start for 6 weeks, is obviously tough. But I just think there's more there in the Phillies offense that can kind of mask that a little bit than with the Guardians, who – like Kwan's what, leading the league in hits and average. He's got a 407 on base percentage. He's been the table setter for the guys in the middle of the lineup. Like losing that is, I think, for a Guardians lineup, probably a bigger deal, even though it's for probably going to be a substantially less amount of time. I think it's just a bigger blow to the baseball side of things than Trey Turner in the Phillies lineup.
It's crushing. When he came out of the game on Saturday, we were all like, oh no. Like you're refreshing Twitter like every 8 seconds to see. I was at that Kentucky Derby party and trying to see what was going on. And it's brutal. It's because the Philly, I mean, like Alec Bohm has turned into a different player this year. He's killing it with nearly a 20 game hitting streak. You know, Harper's going to be fine. JT Realmuto, pretty good player from what I understand. Marsh is at it. Like they're loaded. They are loaded, and their pitching staff is great.
Yes.
The Guardians have such a razor-thin margin.
Yeah, they're walking a tightrope, Chris. You know that.
And that's even in a year when there aren't good teams in this division. Maybe there's one other good team. Now, there are three other teams that can compete with Cleveland that maybe even are all as a whole better than Cleveland. So you lose your one of your leading men. And Jose hasn't gotten it going. I know he hit the go-ahead homer yesterday. Naylor had a great first 3 weeks and then kind of slowed. And he finally, you know, you're just putting more pressure on guys like there are two other guys. What are you looking at? Some good notes?
Yeah. What's Jose Ramirez was like 0 for 19, then he hit the homer.
Yeah, it's been a rough year for him.
It's a big deal for the Guardians. On, you know, at this point, but I'm hoping that he's back quickly.
I know. Well, I'm doing a big time thing. I'm texting him right now. I should have done that yesterday.
That's nice of you. Send that good Chris Rose spirit his way.
Well, so Brady, 2 years ago, got a Stephen Kwan jersey.
I remember that.
Yeah. And so Kwan, He wore it into the Guardians clubhouse, and everybody's like, whoa, somebody's got a Stephen Kwan jersey.
Nice.
I was like, this is how we roll.
Now a lot of people do.
Yeah. Now, yeah. Brady Rose, trendsetter.
That's right.
Trendsetter. All right, before we get out of here, there was one interview that caught my ear this weekend, and it was Sonny Gray. I know I've heard this before, but he did it yet again. He was struggling in his start. And he decided to hit the reset button. And so he explained to us what hitting the reset button means.
I've done this before, but I just came in here after the third, took all my clothes off, and got redressed with new cleats, socks, underwear, pants, belt, jersey, hat. And just kind of was like, all right, you're a new guy. Start over here. So that's kind of how I reset it today.
I've seen it happen before, and he's not the only one that does this. I've seen many pitchers do it. I love Sonny. What a great start he's had to the year. 5 starts, 0.89 ERA, 4-1. If it wasn't for Sonny, where would the Cardinals be? I'm a big fan of his, man. To go into that clubhouse who's got, I mean, guys with real deal service time and leadership skills, and he's like, immediately inserts himself as one of them. I love that.
Can we just talk about what he did? Dude stripped down naked in the middle of a game, and he was like, the first out happened quickly. There was a real possibility that he was going to be in his draws, and it was time for him to go pitch.
Yeah, it happened so quickly now, these innings. That's what he said. He said it was one out, and he was naked in the clubhouse. Like, here we go.
Did you ever go back in the clubhouse during games?
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, all the time. The pitch clock, it makes it more difficult, though. Can you imagine? He would just have to eat a strike or a ball. Hey, sorry, I couldn't get there in time. Ball one.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you who it was, but there was a longtime major leaguer that I had texted like right before the game, and he gets back to me, and I'm looking up. I was like, isn't it the third inning? He's like, yeah, I was just kind of bored. I'm like, huh? What?
I don't know if I ever was texting anybody during games, but I mean, yeah. You go back there, and I know a lot of guys check their phones. There was the one dude for the Pirates whose phone was in his back pocket. Remember that?
Yes. Yeah, that was hilarious.
Where's he at now? Who was that?
I remember who it was. I don't remember his name, though. Remember? Okay. Yeah, we know why they're checking their phones during the game.
Why?
We know why.
Okay.
Post-game activities.
Oh, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. We are back at it again on Tuesday. We'll probably start the live show around 11:30 a.m. Eastern, 8:30 a.m. Pacific. Do not forget to get your factor question of the weekend by Thursday night. We can use it on this show Friday. We can make you famous. Can't say rich and famous. We can make you famous. I can't handle the rich part. Out of my control. For our one-of-a-kind producer, Dan Rourke, and the uber-talented Trevor Plouffe, who will be grilling meat at a barbecue near you, I am Chris Rose. We will see you Tuesday here on Baseball Today.
Ball and Play 2, presented by DraftKings, is underway. Head over to our Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Ball and Play. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code Warehouse. That's promo code Warehouse only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.